Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon, everyone. We have reached one of the great weekends that you'll ever want to get to. The curtain rises on the high school football season tonight. College football got underway last night. More games tonight. Penn State plays Syracuse tomorrow. More games Sunday. Pitt plays Florida State Monday night. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We are stocking up and loading up for the weekend. Snacks, beverages, did I mention beer? And also, fresh roasted peanuts and much, much more at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, how excited are you now?
I'm still counting down. I've got a little less than an hour before I get really excited. Four o'clock puts me at 2.5 hours from airtime.
Were you in the car this morning practicing your touchdown call?
I was not practicing my touchdown call.
Did you drive home last night and practice your touchdown call?
No. I rehearsed what I was going to say at the beginning. But that's beside the point.
You no. rehearsed the beginning?
No, I didn't. I was just thinking about different things that I wanted to say to set the scene. That's about it. See, a lot of people think, you know, that this is Labor Day weekend, the last picnic of summer, the last time to get out and do something. Not me, boy. Not at all. Mine's all about start of fall.
Well, my approach is a little different. Well, we're here. Here we go. All right.
They have to get out the paddles every once in a while just to make sure you're still there.
What? When the big moment comes up, I take care of it.
You do. You get the job done.
When the big moment arrives, the big moment arrives. What's wrong with that?
A little over 2 hours. Till the big moment arrives.
Throw my heart and soul into the open when I need my heart and soul later.
So what you're saying is you spread it out over the entire game that way.
Well, maybe you throw so much into the open that you're like the fans that yell and scream in the pregame, go crazy, and all of a sudden when they get to the game, they burn themselves out.
No, it's usually by halftime when I do that in the stands.
Now, when does your son play?
He'll be in uniform tonight, but he'll probably play on Monday.
Monday. So he'll play Labor Day?
Yes.
What time?
6.
6 o'clock. All right. And where is that game?
They're at Milton.
So it's not a far trip for you?
No, not at all. I already got the route planned out. I have it timed out. I know exactly how long it's going to take me to get there.
Well, good. No, that's great. I think what an incredible thrill for you to see your son go out and play ball on a Monday in JV. First time he's really, he's played at this level. It must be just a lot of pride in your part as a parent because of how hard he's worked to get there.
Very much so. As a matter of fact, I am as excited for him to do that as I am for the season to start. And you know who he reminds me of? Steve Jones. I said to him, "Are you excited about Monday?" "Eh, I'm all right with it." I'm like, "Good. I have to work with this every day. Do I have to have it when I come home? Can't you get a little excited?" He goes, "Maybe Monday I will be."
You have to understand where to peak.
That may be.
You can't get so revved up. You peaked on Wednesday.
It's a good point. We had a great day of practice on Wednesday. I was really excited.
Great. all of a sudden on Friday, it's like, I'm spent.
It's a good point.
Well, let's preview tomorrow's game between the Nittany Lions and Syracuse with Miles Diefenbach and also Glenn Carson as we roll on with Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL 11995, 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only 15521, 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just 17887, a 2010 Honda Odyssey five-door EXL 22775. 2011 Lincoln MKZ, four-wheel drive, four-door, 34,822. And a 2010 Cadillac DTS, four-door sedan, 24,595. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with the Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Kevin Hurr along with Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motors studio today as we get ready to start Penn State football. That'll happen tomorrow with a tailgate show.
Are you focused yet or?
Are you focused? I'm ready. I'm focused.
Doesn't matter if I'm focused. I'm fine.
Oh, good.
What does that matter?
Well, but see, it's been what?
You're the one that has the issues.
Well, let's see. It's been what, 12 hours since you've called a game? It's been 5 months for me.
Has it been 12 hours? I guess it has. The game ended at 11:30 last night.
Yeah. Well, all right. So it's a little more than 12 hours.
Yeah. Well, you want to hear how that game ended?
Sure.
It is the first game last night is the single most remarkable baseball game I've ever seen.
Now we should let folks know that this was a completion of a game earlier on and then a 7-inning game that followed, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Well, it's the first game.
Okay, so this is the completion.
So they pick up the game in the bottom of the second. Now, I'm not there because I did the pregame show, and then I went and I did the talk show with Bill. So after I was done with our show last night, I then went to Medler Field, did the pregame show, drove back down the hill, did the show with Bill, drove back up the hill. When I got back up the hill, the game was in the bottom of the sixth inning. And I was only scheduled last night because I already did the first few innings when the game started. So I don't do the middle innings at home. So I was scheduled to be on the seventh inning anyway. So I get there in time. So I get there, and it's 3-2 State College at the end of six innings. And in the eighth inning, Jamestown scores two runs. It was a misplay in center field, a rarity, because the State College center field is very, very good. He misplays it. He misplays it into a triple, okay? So from there, Jamestown scores two runs, and they take the lead 4-3 in the eighth. Okay. In the bottom of the inning, for the second time in the game, State College, in fact, in the seventh inning, State College loaded the bases with nobody out and didn't score. In the eighth inning, after Jamestown takes the lead, for the second time of the game, State College has a guy thrown out at home plate. All right?
Wow.
Okay? That second hurts. Time of the game, right? Well, it goes from there to then they score with somebody else. They tie the game. This kid Valera singles in Ramos with the run, and they're winning. Or, I'm sorry, they're tied 4-4.
So tie game at the end of eight.
Right. So up 3-2, down 4-3, tied 4-4. Okay? Bases loaded, nobody out, don't score. Two guys cut down at the plates, 4-4 going to the ninth. First pitch of the ninth inning. Harold Ramirez. Pirate fans should keep an eye on him. He's a good prospect. He was an all-star this year in the New York Penn League. Takes the first pitch of the inning and drives it 420 feet for a home run. So Jamestown, which, by the way, if they win the game, they're tied with State College for first place in the division. Okay, so this is a playoff atmosphere, literally. Every pitch had tension. All right? So it's 5-4. Then they put a couple guys on. They run a suicide squeeze. When it's all said and done, they score 4 runs.
Oh.
And it's 8-4, Jamestown. Now, you know how I handle things.
Right.
So they get to the bottom of the ninth inning, and I said, look, everybody just stay calm. I said, this is done on a step-by-step basis.
Mr. Laidback.
Right? I said, it's step-by-step. I said, you can't hit a 5-run home run and change the tone of the game. I said, you can't do that. So I said, do it step by step. And first guy, Washington, walks. So I said, that's step one. Then step two, Castillo comes up, drives a 2-run homer to dead center. Step three, Carson Kelly comes up, the second-round pick of the Cardinals a year ago. He drives a home run to dead center. Back-to-back homers, it's 8-7.
Oh, man.
Okay. Then there's an out. Okay.
First one
then
of the inning.
Yep. So then I said, look, they need to pinch hit. And I said because the catcher spot was coming up, and they'd already pinch run for the previous catcher, the starting catchers. They had the backup guy in. I said, look, they need to pinch hit. They got this kid from LSU, Mason Katz, on the bench. He'd be the guy I'd pick. Boom, Katz pops out of the dugout. Okay, off the fist, left field, base hit. Then there's another out. There's two outs. This kid Bosco comes up, who got in the Cal, Arkansas, Menlo College. I mean, he made virtually every stop in his life, and he drives a triple into the corner. Katz comes all the way around, score, ties the game. With a runner on third. Valera then comes up with the second straight inning, the other inning to tie, which he did. And this time he hits at the right field. They win the game. The place, there's 4,500 people in the place. The place is going berserk. I mean, people are hugging in the stands, which is a minor league baseball game.
It's a lot of emotion for a minor league game, right?
But the game was so remarkable. The magic number to make the playoffs here is 2. They've never made the playoffs before. The game was so remarkable, even the guys that coach said it was the most remarkable experience they've ever been in a baseball game in their lives.
Wow.
It was really unbelievable. And I think that's what I said on the call. I said, to right field, base hit, unbelievable. Because in a lot of ways it was. It was improbable. They have 43 wins on the season. 8 are by walk-offs. 4 are in their last at-bat, which of course would be in your last at-bat on the road. So 12 of their 43 wins are in their final at-bat, including 8 walk-offs.
There were almost as many runs scored in that ninth inning as in the last 5 minutes of the Fresno State Rutgers game.
Right.
They scored 24 in the last 5:32 of that football game last night.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. So, welcome to the world of crazy, our style. And it was fun. Now, I know that you're aching to get some Steeler talk on there. That would be a nice distraction for you, because I know you've spent the last 20 hours writing your open. And mentally, you need a break, because, you know, there actually is a 4-hour game after the open.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Beverages, did I say beer? Snacks, fresh roasted peanuts, need to get ready for the big Labor Day weekend. Barbecues, cookouts, football. Did I mention football? I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is in an absolute zone today. Mentally is not here at all.
That shouldn't be much different than any other day.
We'll just do what we do every other day. All right.
Do you know how many points, you know, I mentioned Rutgers-Fresno State. I was watching that a little bit last night. Do you know how many points were scored in that game? 103.
It's a big number.
Over 1,000 total yards offense.
Well, there are no bozo offensive players there. So, and we bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, to be somebody to distract you from your 0-4 football team.
Very good to be here. That's one of the few times I'm positive that I'm a notch above that bozo, because I do know those are different states.
Yeah.
I don't know much, guys. I don't know much.
That, well done, though, Tony. Are the Steelers a base 8-18 that could swing from 6-10 or 10-6 based on a couple of games?
Steve, I'm not even sure if they're quite there, to be honest with you. I think when they get their full complement of players back, that might be true. But right now, you know, the running game is a mess, and it's, you know, hard to believe that the running game hinges so much on a rookie second-round draft pick, but that's certainly what it looks like at this point. And it's going to be several weeks before Le'Veon Bell is able to return. Heath Miller, it looks like the Steelers are gambling toward him being ready sometime in the first 6 weeks of the season, so they're probably going to be activating him from the PUP list, but he certainly won't be ready before the bye week. And, the offensive line is a major question mark with very little depth. So I'm not completely sold on them even being a 500 team at this point.
All right, let's take this from an Apollo 13 point of view. What do we have in the spacecraft that's good? So when you look at the Steelers, what can they build around?
Well, you know, we certainly know that they've got a franchise-type quarterback. But the question marks are really at every other position in the offense, which makes you think, are they wasting the final prime years of Ben Roethlisberger's career? I think there's some better answers on the defensive side of the ball. I think we're finally starting to see Ziggy Hood and Cameron Hayward play like they can possibly live up to their potential as number one picks. Jarvis Jones had a very, very good camp, looked even better in the actual games. His injury was relatively minor, and he should be back for the opening game. Lawrence Timmons is playing at a great level, and right now, as of this very moment, Troy Polamalu is healthy. So defensively, you know, and again, you've got Dick LeBeau standing over there coordinating all those guys, so that's certainly a positive. So defensively, I think they're in okay shape. Whether it'll be dominant like it had been in the past and wasn't last year, I don't know. Offensively, that's where the question marks are.
Absolutely zero is expected of the following individual, Landry Jones. But how frightening was last night's performance?
You know, it went from okay in the first half to, just like you said, frightening, I think, would probably be the word. And I think that made it even more concerning, because he had a good half to build off of, or a solid half to build off of. I don't know if I want to necessarily call the first half good, but there were some good things, and you saw some progress. Made you really happy, if you're a Steeler fan, and if you're a Steeler coach, for that matter, that they signed Bruce Gradkowski. He at least gives you a solid backup to Ben Roethlisberger. But, you know, we've known from watching Ben and from the looks of this offensive line, the chances of them needing more than one quarterback are going to be high, which means if Bruce Gradkowski takes a start, Landry Jones is your backup. And I can't imagine that the team feels comfortable with that. I guess the question is it bad enough that they're going to be scouring the waiver wire? I don't think it's to that point, because I don't think, frankly, they want to admit that it's to that point. But he did not have a very good camp, to say the least.
Gradkowski was as savvy an addition as you're going to see in pro football. I thought that was smart all the way around. They can maybe swing a game or two if they can do something right on special teams. Did you see the makings of anything that can swing a game or two on special teams?
Well, you know, I think that's possible. Yeah, because I think they have some guys that they know what they can do, guys like Emmanuel Sanders and some other guys in the return game. They were trying, you know, Reggie Dunn, who was really in camp to make the team as a returner, ended up running sideways with a kick into the end zone, taking the safety. That's not going to do it, you know, when you're trying to make the final cut on the last preseason game. You know, I think as far as coverage teams as well, I think there's some good things there, too. I think there's some linebackers and some defensive backs that can do a pretty good job there. And Sean Sweesum, I can't say that name too often, but he has really rejuvenated his career and has been extremely solid, especially kicking in a place like Heinz Field. So that's been a surprise, too. But you know, I think special teams, you know, may be solid. It's kind of tough because when you're watching the preseason game, Steve, you're looking at guys who are, you know, making a last-ditch effort to try to make the team. So you sometimes do see some mistakes stand out in some of those preseason games. But I think they probably feel relatively solid, at least more solid now than they did last year when they fired their special teams coach before the season started.
Yeah, you probably do, sure. Pitt opens with Florida State on Monday night. How does Paul Chris feel about his group? Because that's a great opening test.
It is a great opening test. I think he's excited to see what he has exactly. The coaching staff has worked very hard to put together an offensive line that is going to be passable. They move tackles to the inside. They move defensive linemen over to the offensive side of the ball. And I think they have the makings of what could be a good offensive line, Steve, but I'm not sure you're going to see that against Florida State in the opener. I think it may take, you know, 6, 7, 8 games for this line to become good, and most of these guys will be back next year, and I think that is really where the program is right now under Paul Chryst. I think there's maybe half a dozen games that Pitt can, you know, can potentially win. If they get to that number, and then you get a bounce here or there, and you end up having a winning season, that would be a tremendous step forward for Paul Chryst with the roster and the very, very little depth that he has. And quarterback is going to be an exciting position to watch. Tom Savage hasn't played in 3 seasons, hasn't taken a snap in anger in 3 seasons. So he's going to be playing with a sense of urgency. And I will tell any fans watching that game to keep an eye on number 23 on offense, Tyler Boyd. He's a legitimate talent, and he'll be starting at wide receiver.
Well, the whole country gets to see that game on Monday night because that is the game, especially with no NFL Monday Night Football until the week after. Cardinals and Pirates will play this weekend at PNC Park. Cardinals are up. The Pirates have everyone obviously excited in the town, yet have been meandering for 3 weeks. How do you like that word?
Yeah, well, that's the perfect word. That describes their play perfectly. They're kind of stumbling into this game. All that stuff said, though, you know, there's a lot of questions with the rotation. Some guys are really struggling right now. The offense, certainly without Starling Marte, has been even more stagnant than it was before. But all that said, Steve, they're entering. You know, we're looking at August the 28th today, whatever today is. And this team is one
30th.
Game out of first place with 3
right.
games coming up against the team in front of them. A pretty good place to be. You know, if they can manage to take 2 out of 3, they go into September, you know, absolutely tied atop the National League Central. So they're in a good spot. It'll be interesting to see if they can get this rotation back to where it was. And, you know, guys like Jeff Locke, who is going to be skipped in his next start, is going to have to come back. And they're still crossing their fingers that they get Wandy Rodriguez back. That would be a big addition if they can get him back and healthy.
What did the Bird and Buck additions mean, and what have you heard about interest in Justin Morneau, who has cleared waivers with Minnesota?
The Justin Morneau part first, I would have dismissed that with, you know, single-handedly before we had before the past couple of days. I think they may, you know, make a move for Justin Morneau. I haven't heard anything definitive from anybody inside, you know, any of the beat writers or anything like that. Most of the talk I hear comes from people just putting one and one together. As far as Bird and Buck, boy, you know, what a great move that was. It was an aggressive move. They did have to give up some prospects to get these guys. But not only do they get a good backup catcher in Buck, but when Tony Sanchez rejoins the team, now you can look at a pinch hitter off the bench, in either Buck or Russell Martin. Those guys both have relatively solid power bats. They both have driven in 60 runs this year, right up, you know, right around that number. So with 3 catchers now, you don't have to worry about saving that bat as a pinch hitter late in game. So I think that's a big addition. And Marlon Byrd, the guy's having a tremendous year. Fans bought into him right away. He actually got a pretty good ovation after a strikeout. It was a 14-pitch strikeout. And then he hit a three-run homer his next at-bat in that first in his first game as a Pirate. But when Marte gets back, that really does change the complexion of that offense. It changes the outfield. And 3, 4, 5 guys now, you're looking at guys, all of them, with over 75 RBI at this point. So it was a big shot in the arm for the offense, but now they have to actually, you know, make that happen on the field. Looks good on paper, Steve. Has to happen on the field.
Just remember, when Marlon Byrd's in the outfield, guys try to score from first. Just just file that away. Marlon, man, Marlon and I have comparable arms.
Okay. So that's why, you know, that's why I guess you have to get Marte back, and maybe everything get to the outfield. Whoever can get to it that's not Byrd has to get to it, either Marte or McCutchen.
Tony, thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Looking forward to the weekend. Have a happy Labor Day, guys.
Well, I was going to have a happy Labor Day until he gave me the depressing news at the beginning. Now I'm not going to have such a happy Labor Day. It definitely...
You're frightened by what you heard. You are scared right now.
Yeah?
Look, this is what I told you yesterday. They're an 8-8 football team that will range between 6-10 if two games don't quite go right, and 10-6 if everything falls into place in two games. That's what they are. I'm sorry. That's what you ended up with.
How many times can you schedule the Bills?
Well, with E.J. Manuel a quarterback, I wouldn't want to schedule him either. Manuel's going to be a good player for them.
Sounds like Leiter might be released. He sent out a tweet earlier today and then took it back.
Who's this?
One of the quarterbacks on the list, I think it was Leiner was on their roster for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, but Tool's going to be the starting quarterback first game unless Manuel, you know, somehow gets water from Lourdes and can play.
I thought he would actually be the backup in Buffalo, or actually be the interim quarterback in Buffalo, we'll call it that.
No, Tool's the quarterback. He is going to be the starter. Manuel's the guy they eventually want to hand the keys to. Cobb, of course, is out because of the concussion.
Right.
But Tool's going to be the starting quarterback until Manuel gets back. Simple as that. But you have a middle-of-the-road 8-8 football team that can swing between 6-10 and 10-6. That's what they are. They will win no more than 10 games. I think they'll win no fewer than 6. And after that, I mean, you're miserable when they're winning.
I'm not miserable when they're winning.
You always find something wrong.
Well, it hasn't been hard in the preseason this year.
This was not a good preseason. You will find the preseason to be an absolute memory if they beat Tennessee. Correct?
All right, say that one more time.
You will think that the preseason is a memory if they win the opening game.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
I agree.
Preseason means zilch. But I look at the base talent on this team. They've done some good. Look, this is a good draft for them. Jones is a player.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely.
Bell will be a player. I know it's disconcerting he can't play right now because he's banged up. But he will be a player. That was a good pick. Shamarco Thomas is a player. All right? Okay, so they drafted well with this group.
Do you know the happiest thing he said in the whole beginning of that is, well, you have Dick LeBeau running the defense. That's the bright spot, though? I mean, no offense to Dick LeBeau, who I have all the respect in the world for, and... And rightly so, being a Hall of Famer and everything. But, man, if that's the bright spot.
But do you know what happened to the Steelers?
No.
They got old.
Yeah.
Okay. What the Steelers did not do is what the Patriots have been doing. The Patriots have retooled. The Steelers put a base group together and didn't retool the base group. it's cruel. I know you as a fan who gets very, very attached to players, okay, would have trouble cutting ties with the base group.
Oh, very much. Yeah, we've talked about that before. I didn't like the fact that Troy Polamalu might not be there this year. Fortunately, he is, but...
In a business sense, it's the cruel part of the business.
So what you're saying is this is what I get for liking players.
No, it's what they get for not making a couple of moves here and there to retool with some younger talent.
Right, but as fans, we wanted to see these players stick around. So yeah, this is what we get.
No, because you didn't make the decision. Okay,
no, I understand what you mean.
They make the decision. You have to react to it. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. I'm going to throw out a topic for everybody. At 800-795-9565. As Jack and I and Lauren Crispell do the game tomorrow, what do you want us to look for as broadcasters that interest you? As you go into the game, what's something you as a fan are looking at? You, the fans, are the ones that buy the tickets. You're the consumers. You fill the stadium. You make the TV ratings. You make the talk shows go. You make the message boards hum. It's your interest that makes all the difference. So I want to know what I, as a broadcaster, should be looking at tomorrow that interests you. What are you, the fan, looking at? What will you watch for tomorrow that you want us to watch for and maybe report in the game to you or report to you after the game? Either way, 800-795-9565. I'm really interested to hear what you have to say. What are you, the fan, looking for in tomorrow's game that you think Jack and I should be looking for? What should we be watching for? Somebody did ask who the home team is tomorrow at Syracuse. They are the home team for tomorrow's game.
So those cool electronic signs we heard about yesterday are all going to be in orange.
I don't know how they want to handle that because they're referring it to as the MetLife Classic or something like that.
I was going to ask you if there was a name for this game. I hadn't heard anybody talking about it.
I think it's called the MetLife Classic, but I mean you won't hear me refer to it tomorrow as the MetLife Classic.
Was it the Kickoff Classic that they used to play there?
Yeah, but that was dropped as well as the
Pigskin Classic.
When they made the permanent move to 12 games for everybody, those games were dropped. Those games were dropped when they made the move to 12 games for everybody.
And last night, I have never seen a Thursday night with so many college football games on.
I've watched the last 2 years. The Thursday nights have been loaded up as opening night, and it's fun. I mean, I came home last night, saw Vanderbilt Ole Miss. I watched some of Hawaii USC. I watched a little bit of North Carolina South Carolina when I was at Damon's with Bill last night. But that's it. I was able to at least tune in and see some of that.
There were some really entertaining ones. I told you, we talked about Rutgers, Fresno State, Utah State. That's a game I would probably not watch. But when I saw the score, I tuned it in, and, man, that was an entertaining game.
Well, that's one of the great things about television today as opposed to television 20 years ago. So you can see any game you want whenever you want, which is terrific. And... I know that I just think that's great. And I know as I drive now, once I get out of range at WKOK, and I'll be listening to your game tonight once I get a chance to get on the road, is that now I'll flip over to satellite radio myself to listen to some games late at night when I got out of range of the station.
Well, I never would have heard of Chucky Keaton if it weren't for watching that game. But wow, was he entertaining to watch as well.
Right.
I mean, here's a guy who's running all over the creation and who actually looks a little like Wilson there running around, and yet has leg cramps almost every play.
Well, we're heading to 4 o'clock, and that means that Kevin becomes Jell-O.
2.5 hours, Mark.
I think that's great. You're excited. I think it's wonderful. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.